Hello, and welcome back to the Gaming Backlog Book Club. We're here to talk about Undertale, but before we get started, I just want to mention that Hollow Knight Silksong has finally a release date in less than 2 weeks, and tons of mostly indie devs are delaying their games if they had originally planned to release in September or right now, mostly just to make sure their games get the attention they deserve outside of the vacuum that's going to be Silksong coverage. It almost seems like this is the indie version of GTA 6. So everyone's just pushing their releases aside. Funny thing, I came across, so the game Baby Steps, which we've mentioned briefly on this podcast, put out a really great trailer announcing their delay related to Silksong that I highly encourage you to go watch. It's just so good. Very short too, like 30 seconds, so worth checking just for the laughs.
Okay, I'll have to watch that. I haven't seen that trailer. I'll have to go check that one out for Baby Steps. Because, yeah, that was a game that we were both interested in. How long have they delayed that for?
It's not, they, it looks like they've only delayed a couple of weeks on their end, but
Okay.
many other games have pushed into closer to the holidays or into next year. So, but kind of wild.
Mean, Silksong was what, in development for 7 years or whatever?
Six,
Been like
close to
waiting for
seven.
seven
Yep.
years, six,
Yep.
seven, yeah.
Originally announced as a DLC, turned into its own game. And then apparently the devs just had so much fun building it and didn't look at the internet that they just kept going. So, kudos to them. I think everyone would have appreciated some more information, but they just didn't care about the marketing because they got so much money from the first game that I guess they're doing just all right.
Good for them.
Yeah, lucky them. Anyway, today is all about the early moments of Undertale. We will not be going into any spoilers and just wanted to chat about our first impressions. We'll dive into some neutral route story details and spoilers once we finish that route in next week's episode. So I guess my first thought, right, you hear a little bit of the intro story in a cutscene, you get dropped into the underground. The flower that seems so friendly goes all crazy and attacks. That's a welcome visit into this area, I guess.
Yeah, he's he seems all nice, all sweet and everything, and it's like, oh, just don't make sure to touch all the is it the hearts or whatever, like that drop down, all the pellets that drop down.
He
I was
wants
like,
you to get
okay.
hit by his attacks. Yeah.
Yeah. I was like, all right, I get hit by it, and then he just turns all evil.
An evil, vicious flower with sharp teeth. Yeah. I mean, what struck me right away was the right, this is a your defending is bullet hell. So to avoid getting hurt, you go through these bullet hell, gameplay moments. But the windows that the whole bullet hell thing sits in, it just seems so small, right? There's not a lot of room to maneuver. Even if it was like the full screen was just a bullet hell thing and you had more space, or even if they just filled it up with more attacks in that case, I don't know why I feel like I'm just like squinting almost to try to make sure I avoid attacks.
Yeah, it is. It's quite a small box that you have to deal with. I have just first impressions of doing it. I've definitely been hit
Yeah. Oh,
by
yeah, for
not just
sure.
these attacks, but like later on, like
Yeah.
my reflexes are not as good. Some of them come in kind of quick. Some are also like I'll talk about one attack like later that was like a little bit of a puzzle that I had no idea. I was like, how do you not get hit by this? And then actually, I watched a video. Just later, and like just some random walkthrough, just to like up to the point where we're up to. And I like saw the guy like do it and not get hit. And I was like, but I'll talk about that in a little bit when we get there. But
Yeah,
yeah,
yeah, yeah. It's,
it's a
I mean,
little
I think.
difficult because they're not, yeah, you're right. They're not big boxes that you don't have a lot of room to move.
Yeah, even if there's not a lot of attack, I mean, I think the thing is that we're both playing on some form of the Switch, which doesn't have the most precise joystick of all consoles. And so I feel like even if I knew exactly where I wanted to move, it was a little bit off, or I was a little bit off with calibrating my own thumb to the joystick.
Go a little
So I,
further than
you
you
go a little
thought,
bit,
yeah.
yeah, or you don't stop right on the dime like you would expect to. So, yeah, I mean, hey, you just kind of adapt to it. But I think that's going to be part of this experience overall is you get hit.
Yeah,
They don't call it bullet hell
definitely.
for nothing.
No, I know. Yeah, you will definitely get hit.
Yeah, otherwise, I mean, I have a bunch of kind of just single bullet list type funny moments that I thought were really interesting. When you're going through the ruins area at the beginning, right, there's a rock that starts talking to you and just wants to do its own thing.
Yeah, I had that. That was part of my notes. It's just a talking rock. It doesn't want to be pushed.
And he says, oh, you want me to move over there? Okay. Oh, you wanted to stay there? Yeah, I got a lot of no major laugh out loud moments, but I got a lot of chuckles out of many different things in here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there were quite a few.
There's also, you know, there's very clearly at some point near a save point, there's a piece of cheese on a table, and it says something about a mouse building up the courage to go get the cheese or something like that. And so you can interact with the mouse hole, and it just starts squeaking at you.
Yep. Which is a little squeak, and the cheese is like stuck to the table because it's been there for so long.
You want to try to go encourage this mouse to go get its cheese, you know? Come on. There's also at some point, so I, you know, part of this is, right, any kind of tips or tricks if you're just getting started. And at some point, I fought a pair of enemies, the two different types of enemies at the same time. I don't know if you had this encounter or not, because it was just one of those random encounters, but one of them, when you use the check action on it, it says it looks evil, but probably just because it's with the wrong crowd. So if you do something to get rid of the other one, whether that's kill it or use actions to spare it, you can then get rid of that one enemy and then get rid of the evil one peacefully if you want to, which is pretty funny.
Okay. I had a couple just like dual battles. Some I took out, I attacked, and then a couple of them I was able to, I had like one of the enemies was like, I think it was called like a winsome or whatever, where it's all like sad or whatever. And I did check, and I can't remember what it says, but you did check and you just like kind of slightly cheer it up or you say something to it. And it's just like, I can't, and it like just runs away. So then I only have to do one, but yeah, it's funny that you can check and you can do. Like, there's a bunch of different things. Later on, there's, like, some dogs. You can pet them. You can do whatever, sniff, which was funny.
Yeah, I mean, I
like all the little things that, of the way to avoid potentially battling them. And the thing is, you have to do it enough to then there you can spare.
Yeah. Yeah.
Spare the creature.
Definitely some creativity here and a lot of inventiveness in terms of just finding so many different ways to go through the sparing action.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, in comparison, right? So if you actually fight or attack them, it's not a simple just attack, and it means similar to how avoiding damage is bullet hell. If you attack, you basically just have what's the best way to compare it? Like in the old school, I don't know if they still do it, I haven't played Madden in years, but in the old school Madden, doing a field goal or a punt where you have to basically just line up the bar going left and right and hit it in the center, the more closer to the center you get, the more damage you do. You also have, there's your level here is not actually the LV stat that you have is not actually your level. It's your level of violence. So the higher your level is, I mean, of course it just translates to you are a higher level, you do more damage, but it's basically how much intent to kill you have, which is a funny meta approach to it. But yeah, I mean, I guess there's also just in general, even in just the tutorial ruins, this game is quirky as hell, and I'm definitely here for it.
It is, yeah, it's very quirky. It's funny dialogue, weird, unique characters, but yeah, it's just like quirky, and yeah, I'm here for it too.
The tiny minor details. So in your bedroom in Toriel's house, even just turning off the lamp in your bedroom changes the tone of the music and makes it darker. And you can sit there for as long as you want, but it, you know, just passes some time. Things like Sans with his brumts type joke zingers that he's throwing out all the time.
This is so ridiculous.
It's like bad dad jokes or pun jokes. And
they are.
There's also
his brother Papyrus thinks that he's
Papyrus like is
the most evil, like evil doer. And then I don't know the challenges in the forest. Once you're out of the ruins and in the forest, some of the challenges I just was I laughed at some of them. It's just the dialogue just between them. He leaves like frozen spaghetti, and then later on is like, "Did you eat all my spaghetti?" I was like, "No, I left some." He's like, "Thank you."
Yeah. I mean, definitely clearly written in a specific way. I mean, I think no other detail besides just the general ineptitude, but they do remind me a bit of Team Rocket, I think they're called, from Pokemon.
Yeah.
I just like that. can't pull off anything to save their life. At some point, also just, I don't know why I expected Sans to be more of like an evil genius type when he just kind of seems like this bum that's just hanging around.
He kind of does.
Which is changing, entertaining change of pace, I guess. The one major sort of frustration that I had, so if you go through a puzzle, right, and then there's not a checkpoint immediately after that, so no save point, then you end up having to repeat the puzzle many times if you end up getting killed in a battle soon after.
Mm-hmm.
So, yep. You know, we both, I think, got through until the entering Snowdon Town. So you get to the inn and the shop, and that's where we both stopped off here. But at some point, right, there's the sliding ice area, and you had to click on all the switches to be able to open the bridge or the door or whatever. So I had to do that like 5 to 10 times. That's before fighting the large dog, because I ended up dying to that dog a handful of times in the bullet hell sections. And then...
The dog in the armor?
Yes.
Okay. Because there was a couple fights with dogs. There was
that's the one I'm talking about. In the armor. So I ended up having to repeat that puzzle like 5 times, and I finally realized, okay, I'm just going to backtrack all the way back to the save point just to not have to do it again. So it got a little frustrating, I would say, to just keep repeating things. Like, it would have been nice to have some form of checkpoint or save after a puzzle before a fight. Obviously you can't just lid the thing with save points, but throw us a bone, no pun intended.
I had that actually with that dog. I spared it. I kept petting it and playing with it until a point it got really happy and excited, and then it gave me the I can spare it.
Yes, I ended up doing that too, but I was tired or whatever at that point, and I ended up just like losing in his bullet hell multiple times in a row.
It took me a while, because early on, there's a thing of Sans saying, like, oh, my brother has strong attacks. Papyrus has strong attacks. Like, but his blue attacks don't do any damage to you. Just stay still. And I was like, okay. So I was, like, thinking that just for him, like, oh, I'll fight him at some point soon. I didn't realize that any blue attack you see, if you stay still, it doesn't hurt you.
Right.
Of any character. It took me a little bit to figure that out.
Yeah, I think because somebody mentions that, right? Yeah, Sans mentions that. So I think I was just like, blue attacks, what are you talking about? And then I put the two and two together. But it's still, I mean, knowing it and executing it are not the same. You know, you can still, because he'll alternate white, blue, or multiple blues and then a white right after it. So you still have to kind of let go of the stick or stop moving really fast after you're moving to dodge something. So it's not exactly the easiest thing just because you know what to do.
No. So the one I was talking about earlier, the fight that this was one I died at a couple times. I was against the two dogs. It was like Dogami and Dogessa. Mm-hmm. And they have like the two axes that come down. And I didn't know where to go. I was like, where do I go to not get hit?
Yes, I know.
By either of these. But then I watched just randomly someone's walkthrough. And the guy goes, so when they first come down, you go all the way down to the middle because they stop in the middle. Then you can move all the way to the side to the right and you don't get hit. And then you move all the way back to the middle. Like your heart's on the bottom of the bullet hell box. Mm-hmm. And that's how you avoid getting hit. I was like, oh, because I died to those guys. Yeah, probably like 4 or 5 times. And then I'd have to go back to the little checkpoint above, which luckily wasn't too far. But it took me a little bit to figure out how to get past those.
Yeah, I died to them maybe once or twice, and then I just got, I didn't know that way to get through it, but I basically just got lucky and was able to
I attacked him.
Oh, you attacked him?
I attacked him. I took both of them out kind of quickly once, like, if I was able to get, like, a attack right in the middle, it did quite a bit of damage, and I was able to get through it.
Okay, not so bad.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, outside of that, so I think there's some funny things once you do, actually right before you get to Snowdon Town, right, you end up Papyrus has this giant booby trap on the bridge set up, and then he's like, I'll probably just kill you too easily and takes him away. Just like, you can just come on in.
My favorite one of his challenges or traps was the color grid. The one where he's like, blue is water, orange will make you sweet. But if you're sweet and then you go into water, piranhas will eat you. Yellow is electricity. And it's like, but pink is okay, purple is okay, blah, blah, blah. He's like, I'm going to hit this machine and make it random, and I don't even know what it's going to be. And then it just turns to be a straight pink line that you just walk straight across. That actually got me to laugh out loud. I actually laughed at that. I thought that was, because I was like really reading it, like figuring it out.
Yeah. I was committing all these details to memory. And then once it got to like the fourth color, I was like, no, this has to be a joke.
And then when he hits it and it's just a straight pink path, I just laughed. I was like, okay, that's actually really good. That's funny.
Once you get into the town itself, I mean, right before saving off, I didn't go much farther or walk into town much. But if you go into the shop, I find it really funny that when you try to use the sell option, the shopkeep just makes a quip about other games having shops. And then what, you think I'm a pawn shop? That's not true. So you can't sell anything.
Oh, okay. I literally just got to the town and saved, and that's it. I haven't even gone into the store. So okay.
I just went into the shop there. And then, so at the inn next door, so here's a pro tip for you. If you stay at the inn, it costs 80 gold, which is a pretty steep price comparatively to other RPGs, but with the promise that you'll heal above your max HP. That's what the innkeep's kid standing next to them says. And so rather than just transition to sleep and then going back to playing, it plays a kind of short tune while you watch yourself sleep next to the room next door with three monsters in a giant bed snoring. But the best part of all, the concierge says, "You look well rested." Which is odd since you were only up there for 2 minutes, because in real time, you're only up there for a little less than a minute or 2 minutes. And then she says, okay, I'll give you a full refund. So here you go. So you basically get a full health recharge, which obviously at a save point, you get a recharge anyway, but you get a little bit past, I don't remember the exact number, but completely for free. And not sure if it happens on subsequent sleeps in the same inn or if every inn is the same, but that's just a good little tip to know. In case you want to charge up before a boss fight or something.
Oh, that is a good tip to know. I actually probably will, when I next get on to play, I'll go on and do that.
I also just, this is more kind of general to the gameplay itself. I didn't really notice the fact that it existed, mostly because I jumped straight into playing and I don't think I ever even quit out of the game. I just put it in rest mode. I didn't notice until an NPC or a sign somewhere said that you can add a border to your game, that the aspect ratio of Undertale is quite old school and doesn't take up the whole screen.
Yeah.
It's really just a box. I think it's probably 16:9 or approximately like that. Did you set up a background? Because you have to actually go back to the main menu before hitting continue. So it's not really easy to try out or swap.
Yeah, I thought I had added a background before it started, but I guess I didn't. And then when I saw that, like, there's no, like, pause or anything. Like, there's no way to get back to it. So I didn't know how to get back to the main.
You have to just save, fully quit, and close the game, and then reopen
it. And then reopen it, yeah. I guess. Yeah, I can give it a try. But yeah, I had seen, like, when I first started the game up, the backgrounds, and I thought I'd set one, but maybe.
Yeah, it gives you, like, three options, and it applies a border background that adjusts. So the one that I use is one that called dynamic. I'm sure the other ones are more static, just images. And the one I chose is called dynamic. It adds a border background that adjusts based on where you are. So not things moving, but it changes based on your environment. So I'm in Snowden currently. So it's basically a picture of a bunch of snowy trees.
Okay.
Kind of like, it reminds me kind of like how some people have those lights behind their TVs that adapt to what's happening on screen to make it more dramatic. It's kind of like that. So it's not really jarring against whatever you're looking at in the game itself, which sometimes happens in these older remasters or ports of really old games in, you know, basically re-releases that are coming out now for Switch or for PlayStation. So it's nice. Yeah, I did a good job with it.
It's another, because in the intro episode of this, I mentioned I also started playing Earthbound, and I've actually played a little bit more of Earthbound as well. Earthbound is the same thing playing on Switch, on the Super Nintendo. Switch. It's a small little box, but you can add a little background around it. So I assume Undertale took a little, maybe it's a little thing from Earthbound for that.
Yeah, possibly. I think I've seen it available on the Castlevania Advance collection that I played one of the three games on Switch. I've seen it in the Castlevania Requiem pack on PlayStation also has a similar, maybe it's a Castlevania thing, but, or it's just an old game. I know the Super Nintendo Classic has the same feature if you want to apply it.
Yeah, I was going to say it's going to be an old games thing, because if you think about it, all those old games that we played were full screen. Right. They were all like the TVs we had back then. Everything
square
was
screens.
They weren't widescreen TVs. They didn't come out until later. They're all perfectly square, full screen. So
with Tracks, I mean, that had to be an influence on why Toby Fox made this
they
game
wanted
here.
Yeah, he wanted it like an old school
RPG.
And
well, let's see. At least on my end, to cap off our episode, I have a question for you, courtesy of Toriel. Why did the skeleton want a friend?
Oh, was it because he was bonely? No.
Because she was feeling bonely.
Bonely, yeah. Because she was feeling bonely.
Some of the jokes make you roll your eyes, and the other ones are just really entertaining. The ones that that aren't obviously jokes and are just meant to be the personality of the character, those are the ones that get me. These forced, terrible jokes
I know. It's just ridiculous. Yeah, like as you said with the Sans, with the ba-dum-bum and those types of jokes. But like another at the beginning where it's like you hide behind a lamp, I think it was like right at the start. And Sans to his brother was like, look at the lamp. He's like, it's just a lamp. What are you talking about?
He's like trying to clue him off, but then not.
Yeah. It's just funny dialogue. Yeah, yeah. It's well, so far, it's well written. It's funny. I like the little quips, little...
Yeah, go stand by this perfectly, randomly perfectly shaped lamp. Yeah. It just happens to be in the middle of a snowstorm.
Yeah. Like, I like that it's called Snowden Town. Like, it's snowed in.
Yeah, exactly.
It's just little things. It's fun.
Well, next time we will be talking about the full playthrough of the neutral route, which has 80-something endings. And so I guess we'll see which ones we end up getting.
I was going to say, it'll be interesting to see if we both get the same ending or different for just the neutral route.
I have a feeling it's going to be hard to come by, but I guess we'll figure it out.
Yeah, we will.
Cool. So we'll chat about neutral next time, and then following that, we'll go into the other two rounds.
Yep, sounds good.
Catch you next time.
Great. Thanks, everybody, for listening. If you want to follow along and discuss our playthrough of Knave Games on the Gaming Backlog Book Club podcast, please give us a follow on your podcast platform of choice. Spotify, Apple Podcasts, iHeartRadio, Pandora, Amazon Music, or Pocket Casts, as well as our Discord and Instagram under the same name. Thanks.